dio a conocer su texto el pasado mes de julio. La propuesta define a Chile como un Estado social y democrático de derecho. Introduce el deber del Estado de asegurar un sistema de seguridad social público. Igualmente, el derecho a una vivienda digna, acceso gratuito a la educación, establecimiento de un sistema nacional de salud pública, sin perjuicio que pueda haber prestadores privados en ambos programas sociales. La nueva Constitución también hace una profunda revisión del sistema político chileno, se abre a una descentralización en un país tradicionalmente muy centralizado y da reconocimiento a los pueblos indígenas al definirse también como un Estado plurinacional. Esto último ha generado la mayor y más furiosa oposición de la derecha. Los chilenos concurren hoy a las urnas para decidir entre dos opciones: apruebo o rechazo. En aras de que Chile finalmente encuentre una senda de progreso y justicia social, esperamos que la ciudadanía se incline mayoritariamente por la opción apruebo. Lo contrario sería el desaprovechamiento del más original, progresista y democrático proceso por el cual un país se habría dado su constitución. La opción apruebo es por lo demás la única que puede asegurar estabilidad política y económica para que Chile, de una vez por todas, deje atrás la herencia de la peor dictadura que haya conocido. La era de la nueva constitución debe empezar hoy, con el simple mecanismo de emitir un voto favorable al apruebo. Después de este día, debe venir el largo pero promisorio proceso de construir un Chile nuevo, un Chile para todos y todas, con justicia y dignidad. The Weekly Review. Chile is at a crossroads. This Thursday at midnight, the advertising campaign in Chile for the constitutional plebiscite taking place today, Sunday, closed. For the people of Chile, this is a very significant moment, perhaps one of the most crucial in its history, certainly one that will define the development of political events for a considerable time. In order to situate ourselves, especially for our listeners from countries other than Chile, we must begin by pointing out that the background of the event that this country would experience today dates back to the fateful time of the military dictatorship of Augusto Pinochet, who ruled the country between 1973 and 1990. In 1980, a group of nine people nominated by Pinochet drafted a constitution to replace the one that Chile has had since 1925, which the military coup has simply abrogated without further ado. The 1980 constitution had a clear ideological bias. It aimed to consolidate Chile's neoliberal economic model, along with other measures designed to maintain the armed forces as a sort of overseer of the country's political development. When the dictatorship ended in 1990 and the return to democracy began, the political forces then opposing the dictatorship accepted that constitution, although some reforms were introduced. In 2005, under the government of Ricardo Lagos, new modifications were added. However, the essentials, its consecration of the neoliberal economic model, remained intact. It is not 30 pesos, it is 30 years, was one of the slogans chanted by the young people who, in 2019, manifested massively and during a revolt of unprecedented characteristic and not exempt of violence, reflecting then the overwhelming discontent of the population. An educational system that privileges private education, a similar situation in health benefits, miserable pensions because of a privatized pension system. In short, a society plagued by inequality was the object of the protest of October 2019 and which targeted the institutional framework that enabled and encouraged this state of affairs, the 1980 Constitution, Pinochet's Constitution. In November 2019, overwhelmed by the crisis, both the government of then-President Sebastián Piñera and most of the political parties concluded an agreement whereby the people would be consulted on whether they wanted a new constitution and who would be the drafters of that new fundamental charter. Overwhelmingly, Chileans say yes, they wanted a new constitution and they wanted it to be drafted by a body made up of citizens, not politicians in parliament. Moreover, in an unprecedented move, that body agreed to have gender parity and reserved seats for representatives of the country's indigenous minorities. After 9 months of hard work and not a few controversies, as was otherwise to be expected in an unprecedented process, the Constitutional Convention released its text last July. The proposal defines Chile as a social and democratic state based on the rule of law and introduces a state's duty to ensure a public social security system, the right to decent housing, free access to education, the establishment of a national public health system without prejudice to the possibility of private providers in both social programs. The new constitution also makes a profound revision of the Chilean political system, opens up to decentralization in a traditionally highly centralized country, and gives recognition to indigenous people, defining itself as a plurinational state, that is, state containing many nations. The latter has generated the strongest and most furious opposition from the right wing. Chileans go to the polls today to decide between two options, I approve or I reject. In order for Chile to finally find a path of progress and social justice, we hope that the majority of citizens will opt for the approve options. Otherwise, it would be a waste of the most original, progressive, and democratic process by which this country would have given itself its constitution. The I approve option is the only one that can ensure political and economic stability so that Chile, once and for all, leaves behind the legacy of the worst dictatorship it has ever known. The era of the new constitution must begin today with a simple mechanism of casting a vote in favor of the apruebo. After this day must come the long but promising process of building a new Chile, a Chile for all, with justice and dignity. Good day.
Calma y respira. Quiero darte lo que tú esperas de mí. No sé cómo entender. Hey. No mires atrás. Acuérdate que soy volátil. Me esconderé. Quisiera poder darte todo, pero aquí solo hay voluntad y no es por ti, solo es otra realidad. Porque eres así, esa mirada tuya es.
gusta escuchar. Si quieres honestidad, pues aprende a tolerar. Aquí nadie es perfecto para juzgar otros defectos. Si tú exiges más amor, pues más amor tienes que dar.
Si quieres amor, recibe lo que da.
El Consulado General de Chile informa que el sitio de votación para el plebiscito de hoy, domingo 4 de septiembre, será el Palais de Congrès en el 159 Saint-Antoine Oeste, Metro Place d'Armes. Horario de votación de 8 a 18 horas. Presentar cédula de identidad o pasaporte chileno.
Bueno, y ahora vamos al fichero latino de hoy, 4 de septiembre. Entre los anuncios de interés público tenemos: dosis de refuerzo de la vacuna contra el COVID-19. Están abiertas las inscripciones para vacunarse con la tercera dosis de refuerzo o quinta dosis para aquellos adultos mayores de 18 años. También el gobierno de Quebec ha anunciado que ya está disponible la vacuna para los niños más pequeños, esto es, menores de 5 años. Consultar y reservar en línea en el sitio web Clic Santé, ya sea en francés o en inglés.
Y en los eventos, el Festival de Cine Latinoamericano. Hoy a las 17 horas se exhibe Salvador Allende, film de Patricio Guzmán. Y a las 19 horas, De Madrid a San Telmo, dirigido por Leandro Bartoletti.
Mañana, lunes 5, jornada de clausura del festival, presentando de nuevo el film De Madrid a San Telmo a las 17 horas y el film de cierre, Histoire Bolivienne, de Guy Simoneau a las 19 horas. Las funciones son en el Cine Parc du Parc, esto es en el 3575 de la Avenida du Parc.
El Consulado General de Chile informa que el sitio de votación para el plebiscito de hoy, domingo 4 de septiembre, será el Palais de Congrès en el 159 Saint-Antoine Oeste, Metro Place d'Armes. Horario de votación de 8 a 18 horas. Presentar cédula de identidad o pasaporte chileno.
Celebración de las fiestas patrias de Chile. Organiza el grupo folclórico Arco Iris. Esto es el sábado 17 de septiembre a partir de las 18 horas en la Paroisse San Fabián de Renty. Esto es en el 6455 de la Avenue de Renty. La contribución es de $20, niños menores de 12 años gratis. Para mayor información, tienen que llamar al 514-655-7808 o bien al 438-881-8190.
Y en publicaciones, las ediciones en francés e inglés del libro Presencia chilena en la Belle Provence, Presence chilienne dans la Belle Provence, Chilean Presence in la Belle Provence, se hallan a la venta en la librería de la Université de Montréal, desde 3200 Jean Briand, en la librería Bertrand, 430 Saint-Pierre, Viejo Montreal, en el Internet, en la cadena Renaud Bré, en librería Argos, en el 1841 A, en Saint-Catherine Oeste, y en la librería Paragraph, 2220 McGill College Avenue. El precio es $10 más impuesto.
Y el tiempo para hoy, según la Oficina Meteorológica Nacional de Canadá, será nublado con posibilidades de chubascos y una temperatura máxima de 18 grados. Para esta noche nublado con una mínima de 14 grados.
Y recuerde que si usted o su organismo comunitario tienen alguna información que desean difundir en el fichero latino, comuníquese con nosotros a Latin Time, a nuestra dirección electrónica, laplaza.info@gmail.com.
O también puede enviarnos un mensaje en Facebook. Vaya a www.facebook.com/tiempolatino.latintime y de paso, denos un like. Nuestra página Facebook también se actualiza ahora diariamente con noticias y reportajes sobre lo que ocurre en América Latina y el mundo. Síganos en Facebook.
Y Tiempo Latino es escuchado en América Latina, en todo el mundo, a través del Internet. Entre al sitio de CKUT en la siguiente dirección, www.ckut.ca.
Y usted también puede acceder a nuestro programa en cualquier otro horario simplemente yendo al archivo de CKUT en el sitio web ya indicado y presionando Latin Time.
El señor Laporte Rosselló.
Muchas gracias, señor presidente. En primer lugar, una consideración general. No soy un antivacunas ni un antivacunas COVID. Simplemente pretendo poner de manifiesto que estamos ante un experimento que atañe prácticamente, potencialmente, a la totalidad de la ciudadanía, no solo en España, sino en todo el mundo, y que este experimento se realiza con unos productos que son tecnologías nuevas que implican la administración de ácidos nucleicos y que no son, según la definición del diccionario de la Real Academia, propiamente vacunas, son fármacos, porque la definición lo deja muy claro. Empezaré por la señora Ana Prieto, lo que ha repetido 4 veces que las vacunas salvan vidas, o 5, no sé. Yo he dicho que los ensayos clínicos, que son considerados la principal fuente de pruebas sobre la eficacia de los tratamientos o las vacunas médicas, no muestran que las vacunas reduzcan la mortalidad. Y se lo repito, en el ensayo de Moderna hubo 14 muertos en el grupo placebo y 14 en el grupo vacuna. Y en el ensayo de Pfizer hubo un muerto más en el grupo vacuna, 16 y 15 en el grupo placebo. Esto no demuestra que las vacunas reduzcan la mortalidad. Otra cosa es que con el avance de la epidemia en España se ha visto que las personas vacunadas tienen menos enfermedad grave. Y eso a mí me parece claro. Y no pongo en duda la necesidad, como dice la Organización Mundial de la Salud, de poner por lo menos una dosis a todos los seres humanos que hay en el planeta. Y, si puede ser, 2. Ahora bien, la historia de las terceras y cuartas dosis, como en general, sin especificar qué grupos de enfermos vulnerables necesitan estas dosis, me parece realmente tecnoidolatría. Tecnoidolatría ignorante de lo que está ocurriendo. Lo que está ocurriendo es que la eficacia de las vacunas es buena para prevenir la enfermedad grave, en términos relativos, que dada la magnitud de la epidemia en las fases de la onda delta y de la onda delta, sirvió para evitar muertes, que desgraciadamente, señora Prieto, no tenemos ningún dato que nos indique que las vacunas han evitado la mortalidad por Omicron. No tenemos. Y debemos reconocer esto. Y de las incertidumbres que teníamos hace un año, no sabíamos cómo actuarían ante las nuevas variantes, pues ahora sabemos que no muy bien y pueden no ir muy bien. De modo que se dice que las vacunas salvan vidas y que esto es lo más importante. Y yo critico que en esta comisión, me permito criticar con todo el respeto, que en esta comisión se tome, sobre todo por parte de su grupo y las intervenciones que le he oído, como variable principal el porcentaje de población vacunada. Esto en sí no es ni bueno ni malo si atendemos a mirar cuáles son los sectores de población vacunados. Es muy importante vacunar con más de una dosis y de dos y quizá de más de dos a las personas con enfermedades que causan inmunodepresión. Pero no está tan claro que sea necesario vacunar a los niños y a los adolescentes. Porque probablemente en estos grupos acabemos sabiendo, probablemente digo, pero no está descartado, que las vacunas causan más muertes que no la enfermedad. Y eso deberíamos conocerlo con detalle. Porque, le digo, señora Prieto, los datos del Ministerio de Sanidad relativos a 2020 indican que fallecieron en España de COVID 52 menores de 20 años. De estos, se conocían las enfermedades intercurrentes de los primeros 10. Después, por problemas de confidencialidad y demás, no se dieron más datos específicos. De los primeros 10, todos ellos menos uno, tenían enfermedades gravísimas. Habían sido trasplantados, tenían trasplante de médula ósea, tenían leucemias, estaban tratados con quimioterápicos antineoplásicos. Estos niños murieron de COVID o murieron con COVID. Y esta es una cuestión que todavía no sabemos. Y en los foros internacionales, si me permiten que se lo recuerde, no se ha definido todavía qué es un muerto por COVID. Ahora se dice que hay muchos más muertos por COVID Omicron porque la gente ingresa en el hospital infectada por Omicron, pero ingresan con un infarto de miocardio o con una insuficiencia cardíaca descompensada o con otro tipo de enfermedad infecciosa, pero no ingresan por el cuadro clínico causado por la COVID. Por tanto, creo que es necesario huir de las recetas oficiales. Las vacunas salvan vidas, la tasa de vacunación tiene que ser elevada, tenemos que vacunar a los niños. Yo creo que, sobre todo, tenemos que mirar y tenemos que ir mirando críticamente, porque lo primero es no hacer daño.
Sabes muy bien que te quiero, por eso mismo me marcho. Porque muy poco te importa que aquí me quede esperando. Porque muy poco te importa que aquí me quede esperando.
Hay más daño en que me quede hecho una ruma de sueño. Que no alcanzaron la noche para levantar el vuelo. Que no alcanzaron la noche para levantar el vuelo.
Querer y no ser querido es natural, cotidiano. Pero querer esperarte, eso sí que me hace daño. Querer y no ser querido es natural, cotidiano. Pero querer esperarte, eso sí que me hace daño. Me grita tanto esperarte, eso sí que me hace daño.
¡Ay!
Mira, 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 mi negra, el mal que me has hecho.
Ya dejará de echar sombra en mis ojos tu recuerdo.
Y dejará de ser tuyo este corazón en duelo. Y dejará de ser tuyo este corazón en duelo. Querer y no ser querido es natural, cotidiano. Pero querer esperarte, eso sí que me hace daño. Querer y no ser querido es natural, cotidiano. Pero querer esperarte, eso sí que me hace daño. Me grita tanto esperarte, eso sí que me hace daño.
¡Ay!
El Consulado General de Chile informa que el sitio de votación para el plebiscito de hoy, domingo 4 de septiembre, será el Palais de Congrès en el 159 Saint-Antoine Oeste, Metro Place d'Armes. Horario de votación de 8 a 18 horas. Presentar cédula de identidad o pasaporte chileno.
Thank you. marcharé a la risa y al olvido, sabiendo que el sol no brilla, que me falta tu consuelo. Soñaré que aunque tarde aún hay remedio para volver al camino que sembramos de ilusiones. Llevaré la risa que dan tus besos, un amor que ya se ha muerto y el calor de un cuerpo herido del dolor. Cruzaré, cruzaré bancos de espuma para ver tu rostro en una y llorar por el recuerdo de un adiós. Sentiré tu presencia en el hogar, cómo realizas mis ansias de mujer, el color de tus cabellos. Reiré al clavel que tú me diste, a la luz que fue mi compañera, al aplauso silencioso. Miraré los recuerdos que compramos, los sitios que compartimos y a los deseos frustrados del ayer. Y abriré los brazos mirando al cielo, pidiendo sin ver a Dios que me ayude en mi destierro. Pues te quiero.
Y esto ha sido todo por hoy. Tiempo Latino es una producción del Taller Latinoamericano de Comunicaciones.
Latin Time is a Latin American Communications Workshop production.
Estuvimos hoy con ustedes.
Our team today.
Daniel Lara y Sergio Martínez en las voces.
Sergio Martínez and Daniel Lara at the mics.
Y Rommel Cajavilca en la producción técnica, la compaginación y la selección musical.
And Rommel Cajavilca in the technical production, edition and music selection.
Manténgase en la sintonía de CKUT, nuestro próximo programa, The International Radio Report.
Stay tuned to CKUT, next The International Radio Report.
Tengan todos ustedes un feliz domingo.
Have a happy Sunday. Thank you.
90.3 FM in Montreal.
Welcome to the International Radio Report for Sunday, September the 4th. This is CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. We thank you for joining us today. I am Sheldon. I'm here with Jill, our usual co-hosts, for your 30 minutes of news and information from the world of radio. If you would like to reach us, our email address is radioreport@yahoo.com. We're live streaming and archived at ckut.ca. Our Facebook group is International Radio Report with 834 members. We welcome Jorge joining us this week. And if you would like to listen to the show at your leisure, you can find all of our shows at our YouTube channel, also called International Radio Report, and you can subscribe to receive notices of the new shows going up there each week. We have 683 subscribers presently. So do check them out, particularly the Facebook group. Lots of great stories that go up there that people, listeners to our show and us as well, do post up stories there that don't make it to our broadcast each week. So you can check those out online on the Facebook group. So we'll get started with a story that is based here in Canada, but is making news around the world. And it is about the Montreal-based artist Arcade Fire. Radio stations pull Arcade Fire music following sexual misconduct allegations against the band's frontman. This comes from Griffin Yeager of CBC News. Several radio stations across North America have begun removing Arcade Fire's music from their lineups following recent allegations of sexual misconduct made against the Canadian band's frontman, Wynn Butler. According to a report published Saturday in a music news publication, Pitchfork, four people have made allegations against Butler. CBC News was unable to independently verify these allegations. They have not been proven in court. The allegations reported by Pitchfork range from unsolicited sexual text messages and photos to forceful touching. The people told Pitchfork the alleged interactions were inappropriate based on age gaps and uneven power dynamics, and they felt they couldn't say no to Butler. In a statement, Butler denied the allegations and said all encounters were consensual and he never touched a woman against her will. By Tuesday, several stations, including CBC Music, made the decision to pull Arcade Fire's tracks. The band's world tour, which kicked off Tuesday in Dublin, has so far gone forward as planned. I can confirm that we made a quick decision over the weekend to pull the band's music, said Ian March, program director at Indie 88, a music station based in Toronto. Chuck Thompson, head of the public affairs at CBC, said CBC Music will follow suit. CBC News has reached out to Chorus Entertainment, but has yet to receive a formal response. Bill Childs, a radio host in St. Paul, Minnesota, said he's been tracking the U.S. radio stations who are also pulling the band's music. Since the news of the allegations was reported, he says at least six stations that routinely play the band's music had dropped the songs by sometime on Tuesday. He says that some stations have continued to play the band's songs very late at night, but suspects that they have yet to reprogram their playlists. Now, we have a sort of a late update to this story. As they say in the article, that their tour, world tour, has started in Ireland, but the opening act on the show is a Canadian artist named Feist. It's been announced by her that she, quote, cannot continue on the Arcade Fire tour amid Wynn Butler's sexual misconduct allegations. She goes on to say, this has been incredibly difficult for me, and I can only imagine how much more difficult it's been for the people who came forward. The Canadian singer-songwriter has pulled out of as the opening act on Arcade Fire's recently launched world tour after the allegations came out. Following the tour's opening two concerts in Dublin, the 46-year-old musician, whose real name is Leslie Feist, shared a lengthy note on social media on Thursday explaining her decision to exit the tour and why she chose to perform at the first couple of shows. She opened the statement by explaining that she was at a pub in Dublin after her band rehearsal when she read Pitchfork's recent article and commented on the three women as came forward. In a statement included in the article published August 27th, the Arcade Fire's multi-instrumentalist claimed every interaction with the accusers was consensual. She goes on to say, "We didn't have any time to prepare for what was coming, let alone a chance to decide not to fly across the ocean into the belly of this situation," she wrote on her Facebook page. "This has been incredibly difficult for me, and I can only imagine how much more difficult it's been for the people involved." So anyway, she has pulled out as to what's going to happen to the rest of the tour. It hasn't been decided. They are scheduled to return to North America, and they're actually scheduled to perform here in Montreal later in the year. We haven't heard anything about whether additional shows or the tour itself are going to be canceled. I do find a little odd, though, is again, it's supposed to be innocent until proven guilty. Yeah. This seems to sort of get pushed to the back a little bit sometimes now. It could be very true, you know, that he is guilty, but, you know, everybody's entitled to a fair trial. Sometimes it seems that the media jumps on these things right away and they jump to judgment, which may be the case going on here at this point. I'm not really too sure, but it seemed rather quick to make the decision to pull the music to begin with.
You know, in this case, it's three women. So, you know, I think they prefer to be on the safe side, even though they haven't yet been accused of anything. And the other thing, I think, for the future will be where the tickets haven't been put on sale yet. Mm-hmm. See if ticket sales are suffering from that or not.
Yeah. You know, the thing, the fact that he reacted and says that, you know, something obviously did go on, but he claims that it was consensual. Yeah. So I guess that sort of, you know, kind of tilts it maybe one way a little more than the other direction. So anyways, the radio stations acted very quickly. I'm sure there'll be more about this with respect to their music being played. And like you said, we'll see if it has an impact on the tour and on ticket sales and what have you. So that will be an ongoing developing story. But in the meantime, if you were listening to a station that did play their music, chances are you're not hearing it anymore.
Yeah, and I think it reflects the state of our time now, where nobody wants to take a chance anymore.
Yeah, the, you know, better safe than sorry is, I guess, the rule of thumb that's being followed.
So according to consultant Fred Jacobs, the public radio sector is losing its momentum. This is by Paul McLean of Radio World. Public radio's vital signs are flat and its momentum is down. That's the conclusion of researcher Fred Jacobs. He is in New Orleans presenting his company's study, The State of Public Radio in Post-Pandemic America, to the Public Radio Content Conference. He said nearly a fifth of public radio fans don't listen to the radio for 1 hour a day. Also, while three out of four have a regular radio at home, this is a new low point. Meanwhile, only about half of millennials have a radio at home. He noted that, like public radio listeners in general, the survey's respondents continue to age, now averaging 64.3 years old, and only 9% of the respondents were under 44. There are positive findings, though. Public radio's core values, such as trustworthiness and objectivity, are alive and well. Digital listening to public stations is at least steady. Alternative news sources, including daily podcasts and newsletters, look promising for the sector. The COVID recovery is accelerating, though in-car listening is still off from pre-pandemic levels. Meanwhile, ownership of smart speakers have plateaued. Jacobs said radio streaming is the top reason respondents use smart speakers, and he calls this a huge opportunity for public radio. Podcasting, Jacobs found, continues to be a mixed bag because it is growing but eating into radio listening. Podcast commercials, he added, may be losing some of their impact. Jacobs said Bluetooth has surpassed FM radio as the feature most often mentioned as very important among new car buyers in the survey. But broadcast radio continues its in-car audio dominance as far as the percentage of time spent in the car. One of the trademarks of Jacobs' tech survey reports is a pyramid showing the percentage of respondents who use various technologies and media, From video and newspapers to connected cars and smartwatches, smartphones are the most mentioned. HD radio was the least among the options shown. I think we see, first of all the differences between the generations. You know, millennials are probably the most connected, and I would see them probably using much more things like smart speakers and smartphones to get content. And of course, that's one of the reasons Bluetooth could be popular, because you can connect your phone to your car radio. Car is, we say it often, the number one place probably people listen to the radio in general. And there's still a lot of people not working in their office, or just sometimes a few days a week. So that will probably cut some of the radio listening. I don't know. It's an interesting shift in I think, the culture of where we get our news and information. And 64 years old is the average age, they said. So it's like older people are still holding on to their radios. And I can see millennials not having radios at home. I would tend to think that today's young generation is probably not going to the store to get a radio.
Yeah, for public radio listening, that age is really high, 64.3 yep. years old. Public radio programming is generally longer. It's yep. more feature-oriented. And if you see things like on television and videos, everything is short and snappy. You know, they don't stay with one subject very long. I think younger people, the attention span is shorter. They want something quick, fast. Let's get it out there and get it done and move on to the next thing. Whereas public radio, same as public television, have these longer programs. They have less commercials. They don't have breaks. I remember public TV in New York State and Vermont, close to us here in Montreal, say that they have they're having difficulty in their funding drives now.
Yeah.
That people don't have the attention span to watch a 1 hour uninterrupted by commercial television show anymore. So, you know, the same thing can be happening with public radio, I think. So you're getting an older audience that can lock onto a program for a longer period of time. The younger people are just not doing that.
Yeah, and, you know, public radio is much more of a educational type of radio. You learn things there, and like you said, the programs are much longer. And when you're younger, maybe you're not going towards that type of content that much. You want to have the quick news. It's like, what's happening today in short bits of, you know, 30 seconds, and that's it. Okay, I know my stuff now. I saw something this week about the BBC, which is also a public broadcaster. They were saying that more and more people are actually saying that with the license fees going, and the fact that, you know, some content might become paid content that you'll have to subscribe to, a lot of people are saying, well, maybe, you know, I'm not going to listen to the BBC anymore. So there's a shift. People are really searching for new ways to get their news and get their information.
Yeah, it's like these, you know, these entertainment TV shows that sort of try to present themselves as news.
Yeah.
You know, with 30 second clips of a story, and then it's flash quick to another one. You know, I actually know some people who consider those programs to be news broadcasts.
Yeah.
And even our news broadcasts are changing too. You see a lot of Definitely. Just, you know, somebody with a video screen behind them, and you got to watch the pictures. You know, it's the in-depth report is just not there anymore. So times are changing.
Yep.
What can we say?
Definitely.
We move overseas to Serbia. Some interesting things going on there, presented by Reporters Without Borders via Radio World. A Serbian local radio station has been threatened by a powerful businessman. Reporters Without Borders calls on the Serbian authorities to guarantee the safety of the journalists at OK Radio, a leading local radio station in the southeastern town of Vranje, whose work is being obstructed by increasingly violent threats from Dejan Nikolic, a powerful local businessman known as Kantar. Kantar has been exerting constant and growing pressure on OK Radio for several months because it is opposing his plan to build an illegal gambling room that would encroach on the building that houses the radio station. The threats against OK Radio's staff are very worrying and obstructing the work of the journalists, said the head of RSF's European Union and Balkans desk. In accordance with our April 2022 recommendations, we call on the Serbian authorities to take steps to improve journalist security. There is an urgent need to restore a safe environment for this radio station's journalists so they can resume working normally. Press freedoms must not be gagged by fear. OK Radio is a well-established radio station that broadcasts local news. Most of its funding comes from the income of a cafe called the No Comment Cafe that is attached to the radio station. In March, OK Radio's owner told the police he was getting telephone threats from Kantar. Then the cafe was ransacked at the start of June. Kantar began construction on his illegal gambling room on the 6th of June, walling up the windows of the radio station. Representatives of Journalists Association with the Standing Working Group for the Safety of Journalists, an entity created by the Serbian government in 2020 to respond more effectively to attacks on journalists, visited on June 15th and voiced their support for OK Radio. Kantar went to No Comment Cafe and reiterated his threats on the 16th of June. He was arrested the same day. The strongman's harassment has taken various forms, from threatening phone calls to smashing the cafe's windows. He even sent one of his men to the cafe carrying a phone on which Kantar could be heard screaming threats against the radio station's journalists. Kantar's imprisonment has not stopped him from continuing his threats. In late June, he targeted a member of the Standing Working Group for the Safety of Journalists by means of fake arrest warrants posted in the streets of the town, accusing Matic of destroying the city. Kantar even continued to threaten journalists when he appeared in court, while friends and associates gathered outside wearing T-shirts with the words, Vucic, help us, a reference to Serbia's president, and displaying signs saying, justice for Kantar, suggesting that he is a victim. After the hearing, OK Radio's reporters said publicly that they did not feel safe. Kantar is both extremely influential and feared in the region. A local court ordered the destruction of the wall erected in front of OK Radio, but no builder is prepared to carry out the job for fear of reprisals from Kantar. Two employees have left OK Radio because they felt they were in danger. Other Serbian media outlets are also reluctant to cover this case for the same reasons. As the No Comment Cafe's inability to keep operating has deprived OK Radio of its main source of funding, the Association of Independent Electronic Media has launched a fundraising drive for the radio station. This is unbelievable.
Yeah. You know, we talk about how governments are often controlling and trying to shut down things, but we have not, you know, we got to also understand that powerful corporations and powerful businessmen can also use ways to try to shut down or try to intimidate. It's sad.
Yeah. You know, what they're going to be charging him with and how, you know, whether he'll be released and will go back to his same old ways. It seemed like he didn't even care being arrested. He found ways to continue the harassment even while imprisoned or in court. So I can understand those journalists not feeling very safe at their radio station.
Definitely. So what's happening with our son? Well, our son this week was also quite active. Things are quieting down a little bit more. There is a possibility of a little bit of geomagnetic storming also. There is a coronal hole that is sending out some solar wind, and that could affect us today, September 4th or 5th. And, of course, that could degrade conditions from time to time. But we see a little more of a quiet week ahead right now. Solar flux is around 115, and the sunspot number is at 67. And, well, the best way to see how propagation is to turn on a radio and listen.
This is Margie Barrett of Lansdale, Pennsylvania, listening to the International Radio Report every Sunday morning at 10:30 on TKUT 90.3 FM Montreal.
Pop Shop Radio, second anniversary with the 100 kilowatt bash. That's going to be something interesting. Via Tony Pavic, Pop Shop Radio. So mark your calendars for Friday, 9th of September, 2022, as our second anniversary special show. We'll be hearing from ORS in the Moosbrunn, Austria transmitter site at 2200 hours UTC on 9550 kilohertz with 100 kilowatts of music pow power. The beam on this will be towards the Americas. The last 100 kilowatt transmission on the 1st of July was heard loud and clear across the Atlantic and all over Europe. Hope you'll tune in. On the Pop Shop Radio webpage, popshopradio.ca, Tony writes, from the town of Hope in supernatural British Columbia in Canada, we are Pop Shop Radio, Canada's international voice on shortwave. Pop Shop Radio goes around the world to bring you great stuff from all over. We play a whole variety of pop music, such as records from the 60s and 70s that were played on top 40 radio stations, not only in North America, but also on offshore radio and stations like Radio Luxembourg. To make it fun, we also include stuff that didn't make the top 10 and even reach back into the 30s to the 50s to dig up great sounds at 45 and 78 RPM. We like to show that music doesn't have to be in English to be great, stopping off in places like Sweden, Finland, the Czech and Slovak republics, Germany, France, Brazil, South Africa, Singapore, Japan, Australia, and New Zealand. We find cool records for you to groove to. We mix it all in the style of top 40 radio of the 60s and 70s with jingles and real records played by a real DJ. We are everything that the boring FM corporate stations that have no personality and say they play the best variety are not. Last but not least, Pop Shop Radio's made in the town of Hope in British Columbia in Canada. Pop Shop Radio can be heard via Channel 292 from Germany and WRMI Radio Miami International in Florida. So there's a complete schedule and information available at popshopradio.ca. So you got to mark your calendar if you want to hear this special transmission from Austria of Pop Shop Radio. Once again, this will be Friday, September the 9th at 2200 hours UTC on 9550 kilohertz. That should give a pretty good signal here in the North America, at least in the East Coast.
Yeah, as we're getting into September now, you're noticing that the days are getting shorter, the nights are getting longer. So I think 9550 at 2200 will probably propagate quite well with 100 kilowatts beamed at the Americas. Tony Pavic is the man behind Pop Shop Radio out in Hope, British Columbia, and he's also a very active shortwave listener. He's a member of our Canadian International DX Club and likes to send us a lot of his interesting shortwave loggings that he makes from the west coast of Canada. So we wish Tony luck with that broadcast. Yep. We'll all try to tune in and listen to it. Sounds like a pretty interesting station, sort of a throwback to the old top 40 radio days, but including, as he says, a lot of international music as well. So we'll post this up on our Facebook page as well, and you can check out their page, popshopradio.ca. We have some really good news to wrap up our stories today. This one comes from New Zealand via Mike Terry in the UK via Glenn Hauser's World of Radio. And it was published in the Pacific Media Watch on September the 1st. Radio New Zealand Pacific resumes shortwave analog service to the Pacific region. RNZ Pacific has resumed its shortwave analog service to the Pacific region between the hours of 5 and 9 a.m. New Zealand time, starting September the 1st. RNZ Pacific broadcasts in digital and analog shortwave to radio stations and individual listeners in the Pacific. The digital service is available via satellite, and the analog shortwave can be accessed by anyone with a shortwave radio. The resumption of the analog service will allow listeners in remote locations with a domestic shortwave radio to hear RNZ Pacific 24 hours a day, made possible with extra funding from the New Zealand government. RNZ Pacific will run three different frequencies at various times: 7425 kHz, 9700 kHz, and 11725 kHz. For the full schedule of shortwave frequencies, you can check out the RNZ Pacific website. When we last checked it, it wasn't completely updated yet, though, for the new schedule. But you can check that out and keep an eye on it. The DRM digital service during breakfast hours will continue on transmitter 2 for partner stations around the Pacific region. The RNZ Pacific's flagship daily current affairs program, Pacific Waves, is widely listened to across the region and is also broadcast by the BBC Pacific Service. So that's great news.
Yeah, it is, because there's too many stations right now kind of focusing on DRM, thinking that's the way to go. And they actually understand that analog is really important for the Pacific region. So that's really good news that they understand that, contrary to many other broadcasters that maybe should learn a lesson from Radio New Zealand here. And Radio Australia also should have taken note of this, because Radio New Zealand is taking over and is pretty much replacing what Radio Australia was all about. So there's upcoming ham radio contest.
Yeah, quite an active weekend coming up, so I'm sure you can find some one or two of these maybe or more that you might like to participate in, or just tune in and listen. First off, the First Class CW Operators Club is holding the FOC QSO party, 0100 to 2359 Zulu, September the 10th. It is all HF bands except the work bands, and it is in CW.
Worked All Europe DX Contest, SSB, from 0 hours Zulu, September 10th to 2359 Zulu, September 11th. Organized by the Deutscher Amateur Radio Club, bands 3.5, 7, 14, 21, and 28 megahertz in single sideband.
We have the Straight Key Century Club Weekend Sprintathon, 1200 Zulu September 10th to 2359 Zulu September 11th. It's 160 through 6 meters, excluding the work bands. That is also in CW mode only.
There's the ARRL September VHF contest, 1800 Zulu September 10th to 0300 Zulu September 12th, organized by the American Radio Relay League. All amateur bands 6 meters and up. All legal modes are permitted, while CW and SSB phone are the most common. MSK 144, FT8, and FM only are gaining popularity.
The North American CW Sprint, 0100 to 0400, September 11th, organized by the National Contest Journal. That one is 80, 40, and 20 meters only, and it is CW.
And there's the 4 States QRP Group Second Sunday Sprint, 0100 hours Zulu to 0200 hours Zulu, September 12th, organized by the 4 states, Arkansas, Oklahoma, Missouri, and Kansas QRP Group. Bands are 160, 80, 40, 20, 15, and 10. The modes, CW, SSB, QRP stations only, so it's low power.
Just noticed in reading those that we are coming up to the anniversary of September the 11th. That always produces a number of activities on radio. Quite often they rebroadcast a lot of the radio as it happened on September 11th.
Yep.
And there are often some special events, radio stations operating on the ham bands to mark the anniversary. Tune around, check out around September 11th. There are always special things going on. If we come across any during the week, we'll post them up on our Facebook page as well. It's always been a time when different groups and organizations, including radio stations, broadcasters, and the amateur radio community pays tribute to the people that were lost on September the 11th.
And we are out of time.
We thank you for tuning in to us today. You can check out the show again and previous shows on our YouTube channel. And we do encourage you to join the Facebook group, International Radio Report, where we do post a lot of information during the week, any late breaking news or what have you, and also the stories that we've featured on the show today and the list of upcoming contests. So that is International Radio Report group on Facebook. Have a great week, everybody. And we'll talk to you again next Sunday on the International Radio Report on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. Bye-bye for now.
Bye-bye.
because she don't speak English and I don't speak French. Our love will be tested, but we'll never flinch. For I really love her, and that is a cinch. Though she don't speak English and I don't speak French. No, she don't speak English, but she takes my hand. And though I don't speak French, I sure understand. The way that she holds me, I thrill every inch. Though she don't speak English and I don't speak French. Some people say there's a barrier tall between French and English, just like a brick wall. But with our true love, we have torn down the fence. Though she don't speak English and I don't speak French. No, I don't speak French, but I know what I feel. Every time she's near me, my world becomes real. The way that she holds me, I thrill every inch. Though she don't speak English and I don't speak French. No, she don't speak English and I...